Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Julien Mango. How are you, Julien?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Not a problem. Here we are. We're in, where are we exactly?
This is a small country located at northeast from Libourne. 10 kilometers, and the place is Savignac de l'Isle. So we are at the top of the village, and this is 400 people living there. And this is a family winery, 15 hectares at the beginning, which was run by my grandfather at the beginning, and then my father. And nowadays I'm running the family business.
Okay, and Libourne, people may not know where Libourne is, but you're to the right of Saint-Emilion as well, aren't you?
Yes, this is to the right to Saint-Emilion, and this is between 40 and 50 minutes driving from Bordeaux.
Okay, and are you on the, which side are you, on the right bank or on the Entre de Mer?
Yeah, no, this is the right bank.
You're on the right
bank. This is the right bank.
So you're basically just a bit further up the river from Saint-Emilion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, and that's why from the winery, just in front of, if you see, you can check, there is a church, and this is the church of Saint-Emilion.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we have a view on the church of Saint-Emilion.
Oh, lovely.
So we are neighbor.
Yeah. Okay, that's probably because, to be honest, I've been to Bordeaux a couple of times. I had no idea where Libourne is because I've never been there, but I've been to Saint-Emilion a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I think wine people know Saint-Emilion better than they know Libourne.
Well, Saint-Emilion is much more famous as Libourne.
Yeah, exactly. And what was the town called again?
Sorry?
The town is called...
Here,
yeah,
the village, this is Savignac de l'Isle. Savignac de l'Isle, because the river at the back is l'Isle. So the place is Savignac de l'Isle. And there, the winery is located at Les Maréchaux. Les Maréchaux means it was a soldier linked in the army with horse.
A soldier with horse?
Yes. This is a maréchal. A maréchal was a soldier which was driving other soldiers on a horse.
Oh, okay. Okay, lovely. All right. And we're going to taste some of your wines in a minute, which is always quite nice. And as we taste them, we're going to talk a wee bit about the winemaking production of the wines. But before we get into that, it's a family business. You've taken over from your father.
Yes.
When did the winery first get into the family?
Oh, it was before 1800.
1800?
Yes, it's very old, but the first production of wines, it was launched by my grandfather.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, so it was mainly white wines. Yes, because my grandfather, focused on other cultures. So with the white wines, he had time to produce other things on the land. And then my father decided to replant everything in red because he saw that the red was much more adapted to the soil and to the terroir. And today we are focusing mainly on the red, and we have a small part of white wines, which is 100% Sauvignon Gris.
Yeah,
Really unusual for Bordeaux, but the concentration and quality of grapes we have is really good to produce a very, very good wine.
You don't want to go down the Sauvignon Blanc.
We had Sauvignon Blanc, but it was not really fruity, and the quality of grape we had was not exactly what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to make what we call in France surgreffage. You see, we cut the plants and we put another plant on
top.
And I think it was after the third vintage, the quality of whites were really good.
Okay.
So this is small production, but we are very proud of producing that.
What's the name that you called before? Because basically it's top grafting. You cut off the plant and then... I presume they're on American rootstocks, were they?
Yes.
And then you cut off the top bit, which is your Vitis vinifera, Semillon or Sauvignon Blanc, and then you put your Sauvignon Gris on
exactly.
in the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's quite a hard bit of work to change a vineyard over that way.
Yes, it was. That's to say, it was interesting to do that because we saved time in the production process.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first years, grapes are not at their best, but after the third or fourth vintage, quality of white was really good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We produced dry white. This is a really small production. This production doesn't overpass 1,000 and between 1,400 400 bottles.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's very confidential.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We have good feedback on the wines, and it's nice to try to produce.
You don't find Sauvignon Cru gets a little bit of mold and mildew sometimes?
This is much more exotic notes.
Yes,
much more exotic notes, and we always harvest the grapes later than our neighbor. We work with Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Yes, that's to say the normal date for Sauvignon Blanc, the harvest is around the 15th of, between the 10th and the 10th and the 15th of September. And for us, this is much more end of September.
Are you the winemaker here?
Yes.
Okay, so where did you study winemaking?
With my father.
Oh, so no formal qualifications?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I studied much more trade and business.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I learned at the winery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Step by step.
Yeah, yeah.
And with my father saying, okay, you have to focus on that part, you have to do like that. And then after 5 or 6 years, I had much more knowledge on the wines, and it was easier for me to drive alone and to run the winery alone.
Okay. You never had any desire to go to Bordeaux and learn about winemaking?
I did a training period in Spain, 3 months, and then in Chile at Concheitoro. So it was really good experience, and I learned a lot of things, and it was when I went back to the winery, I had this knowledge of foreign production, and it was really, really helpful for me.
Cool. All right, then, let's have a look at some of your wines, then.
Yeah, for sure.
Which one should we start with?
So we start with Chateau Maréchaux 2014, which is a blend between Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon,
mm-hmm.
and the wine is aged in French oak barrels during a year.
A year in oak, French oak. New oak or mixed oak?
A third.
A third new?
A third new, and the rest is the 2 and 3 wines.
Yeah, 2 and 3 years. Okay, cool. The glasses, are they Riedel's?
Oh,
red wine glass.
Yes, yeah. it's adapted for red wines. Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's quite nice.
So the wine is just open, but Merlot is really adapted to a terroir. So generally in all wines, you will find mainly Merlot.
Yeah.
Because it's really adapted, and I like the fruit that we can...
There's a little bit of spicy pepperiness there, but it's...
It's linked to the oak aging.
Yeah, the wine, the oak is nice. It's
yes,
it's there,
it's,
but
it's smooth.
It's a supporting role,
yes,
as opposed to being dominant.
Yes, this is what I always try to do. That is to say, for me, the barrel is important, but the barrel has to help the wine.
Yeah.
If it's just wood, there is no interest, because wine is mainly fruit.
No, that's lovely. That's probably the nicest wine I've had so far.
Balanced, elegant. So with the Chateau Maréchaux, we are mainly looking for wine balanced on the fruit, easy to drink, but you can age the wine.
Yeah, there's a little bit of tannins. There's lots of acidity in the wine still.
Yeah, that's why this range, you can age the wine during maybe 4 or until 8 years.
Yeah. It's an AC Bordeaux or AC Bordeaux Supérieur?
This is Bordeaux Supérieur. That to say, the rules of production are harder than Bordeaux. And my father always produced Bordeaux Supérieur, so I decided to keep the same line.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've found over the day that I've been tasting wines here is that in London, when we look at Bordeaux and Bordeaux Supérieur, to be honest, a lot of it's pretty insipid. You know, it's very light, very wishy-washy. It's like, why bother? But the wines from the chateaus, particularly the top wines of the chateaus, which is what this wine is, they are actually really good quality wines with nice bits of character.
For Chateau Maréchaux, this is small production.
Mm.
We produce no more than 25,000 barrels. So this is very small. So with small production, we can focus on quality, concentration, and we succeed in having really balanced wines. And with, as you said, with good concentration, and we feel the fruit, we feel that there is work behind the wine.
So let's talk about how the wine's made. You said it was a Merlot Cabernet Sauvignon blend.
Yes, it's 80% Merlot and 20% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, do you find Cabernet Sauvignon ripens okay here?
Well, very good, because this is an old plant.
An old vine.
Yes, old vine. So the quality of Cabernet is really good each year. That's why we decide to add the Cabernet Sauvignon in the last blending.
So what do you think old vines mean that it ripens? Because I would have thought that it's more about the soils and the aspect that would encourage the Cabernet Sauvignon to ripen rather than the age.
Well, for sure, you say if you want to have really good quality of Cabernet Sauvignon, for sure you need the terroir. But Cabernet Sauvignon is really good after 10 years or after 15 years.
Yeah, okay.
This is the quality of the grapes are strongly linked to the age of the plant.
Mm-hmm. I do like that. That's quite good. How much does it retail for in France?
It's a bottle that you are going to find in a wine shop around 10 euros.
So it's quite pricey.
Yes.
By the time you convert that to English pounds, add the duty and all that, you look.
For sure, in UK, it's a bottle that you will find less than 20 euros.
Yeah, yeah.
With transport and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So £15.
Yes. Yes, but, yeah. Around 15.
Which is quite, you know, that's quite a lot for a normal entry level. Well, not entry level, but, you know, normally when you see AC Bordeaux, you think entry level wines. It's certainly better than entry level wines, but, you know, the wine's probably worth it. But it is quite unusual to see sort of what I would consider entry level wines at almost a sort of premium price.
Yes, that's why Chateau Maréchaux, it's not sold in supermarkets. That is to say, if people are looking for a good quality wines, even it's Bordeaux Super DOC, they know that in the Bordeaux DOC there is really good wines, well done. So for sure, if you want a good wine, the cost of production are high. So because we have to buy barrels, there is hard work to produce this wine style. So yeah. We are not first price.
Okay, let's talk about how the wine's made. So the grapes are harvested.
Yes.
Yep.
And then we put the grapes in tank.
Mm-hmm.
We launched the
destemming.
We launched the fermentation after
wild fermentation or inoculated.
We inoculate the first one, and that's all. And then with the tank, which is inoculated, we launch the second one. And with the second one, we launch the third one.
So you have the tank and it's fermenting away, and you take some juice from that and put
exactly. Exactly. So that's why it means that there is no more inoculation. That's to say, commercial inoculation, no longer. Just on the first tank.
Okay.
And after, we work a lot on the wine for extraction, but we are always looking for smooth extraction.
Do you go for a cold soak first? You get the grapes, they're harvested, they're destemmed, they're put into a tank.
Yes.
You keep the temperature of the tank really low.
Yes.
So that the fermentation doesn't start.
It depends.
And then you've got the cold soaking, but you get colour and flavour extraction.
Yeah, okay, I understand. It depends. We do it when we try to have a parcel selection and we know that the quality of grapes is really good, we do it.
Mm-hmm.
On two or three specific tanks. But if not, we launch immediately the fermentation. But if we harvest really soon at the morning, grapes, temperature of grapes is low. So the process of fermentation is quiet. And we have no problem of excessive temperature. And we work a lot the wines during the half of the process. And then we try not to extract a lot. We are looking for elegant and smooth tannins. So this is really important.
So after alcoholic fermentation, do you do a post-fermentation?
Yes, between 2 and 5 days.
Okay.
When there is no more sugar, we complete the tanks and we let the wine inside. We maintain the temperature between 20, around 20 and 22, yeah. and we taste the wine each day. Yeah. And after, when we think that the extraction is at the best level, we suck off the juice.
And the tank you're using, because you've got a mixture of concrete tanks yes. and stainless steel tanks.
Yes.
What do you use for your top wine?
Stainless mainly for the pure process of fermentation. Mm-hmm. And then for malolactic process for the best tank, I try to put the wine in concrete.
In concrete, yeah.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you have an exchange between the air and the wine, which is really interesting. So, and
because the concrete, I've seen your concrete tanks and they're not epoxy lined. A lot of people have a sort of lining on the inside, but yours are just straight onto the concrete.
Yes, because the real effect of the concrete is to keep it pure. So if you have, how do you say that? Resin?
Epoxy resin.
Epoxy inside, you don't have the effect of the concrete.
Yeah.
So it's good because it's large, it's huge. So it's the tank is going to protect the wine from the temperature changing. But yeah. if you really want the effect of the concrete has to be natural inside.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose the nice thing about the concrete is it's full of holes, so you do get some oxidation, little bit of...
No, there is no oxidation.
No oxidation? No, there must be tiny little air pockets in that tank.
But it's not risky. There is no oxidation.
Oh, no, I'm not sure. I'm sure it won't go oxidized, but you must get some influence of the oxidation.
Well, they say we are looking for the same effect as the wine in barrel.
Yeah,
this is why we try to have, because the wine in barrel there is an exchange, and in the concrete this is the same.
Okay, and you're saying that the temperature doesn't fluctuate. Is that why does the temperature not fluctuate with concrete?
Because concrete is the tank is large, and before having the wine is protected inside. Mm-hmm. That you say you put your hand on the stainless, and you already feel that with your hand. You are going to have higher temperature on the tank. Mm-hmm. On concrete, it's impossible. There is no effect immediately.
There's a massive thermal lag.
Exactly. Tank will not transfer the energy to the wine.
Yeah.
So you save it. You protect the wine.
Yeah. But you've got stainless steel tanks and they've got chillers units in them to keep them controlled. You've got temperature control there.
In concrete?
In stainless steel.
Yes, the same. We have the cooling process in concrete. And in stainless.
And then the wines go from the malolactic fermentation in concrete?
Yes. And then after the malolactic process, we decide which wine will enter barrels mm-hmm. regarding the quality and which wine will be more adapted to be drunk young.
Yeah.
So the selection is just after malolactic. But we know when we entering the parcels, we know the quality of grapes we have. But after malolactic, this is the last selection.
Yeah, okay. So you're expecting the wine, certain wine grapes and parcels to go into your different blends, but you're doing a quick check just to make
yes,
sure.
Yes, I know that behind the winery, what we call le plateau, which is just entering to the left, we always have really good quality of grapes. And I know that with these grapes, for sure, a huge part will enter a Chateau Maréchaux.
Yeah.
This is the experience.
The wine goes into French oak?
Chateau Maréchaux, one year.
1 year in French oak.
It depends, but this is always between 10 months and not overpassing 14 months.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, because the balance we are looking for is always around 12 months.
Mm-hmm. And then 12 months in tank, 12 to 14 months in barrel, sorry?
That is to say, yes, for Domaine des Maréchaux, even the wine is, that is to say, this is the first range, even the wine is not aged in barrel, we keep the wine at the minimum between 6 and 8 months in concrete tank.
Okay.
Okay. And for the aging.
Yeah. And then you blend it back into everything back into a big tank.
Yes, which is interesting is that when you have different small tanks, you have different wine style. So after when you blend, you have palette of aromas which is very huge. Mm-hmm. This is the interest of the blending.
Yeah. And bottled and hey presto, here we go. Cheers. And who buys this wine?
Historical markets. As UK, Belgium, a little bit in Asia, and United States.
Okay. And the main market is?
For it's going to be United States.
United States.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. More and more.
More and more.
Yes. But UK is an old market because English people are very fond of Bordeaux wines and they have high knowledge in Bordeaux DOC. Yeah, so for me, it's really important to keep a big market in UK because people know the wine.
Yep.
We have no limit for the distribution. But as this is a small production, we select for sure countries where the wine can be distributed in the best conditions.
Excellent. All right then, Julien, I think we'll wrap it up there. Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.